Of the rap game. Woo! Ever since I hit him with that dirt track thing. Yeah. Now nationwide, everybody knows my name. They're like, mama, that's Kenny Montgomery. He sings that song we like. Yeah, boy, that's me. Roll out the trailer, I'm flossing. Huh. Them Hoosier tires glossing. Yeah. Them cold kind, we're tossing. Right. They know I came to wreck it, yet I rarely bring out a caution. Get it. I hit the high side. Boy, I park it for Brian Clausen. I do them like...
Welcome to Throttled Up, the podcast. Throttled Up will be a weekly podcast featuring Matt and Dustin. We plan to discuss the legendary Brownstown Speedway, along with other local dirt tracks, Eldora, Salem Speedway, and all of your IndyCar and NASCAR news. Don't miss an episode of Throttled Up, the podcast.
Hey, Mo, are you going to win it? Uh-huh. Yeah, I hope y'all brought some stamps, because y'all know I'm about to send it on this dirt. I'm all about that dirt. I'm throwing dirt. I miss that dirt. Gotta get back to it. I'm a dirt trackaholic. Call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that dirt. I miss that.
Welcome back to Throttled Up, the podcast, recording live tonight from the Jackson County Fair. Exciting night tonight to get out to the fair and talk a little bit. We've had some technical difficulties getting started here with Facebook Live. Wasn't able to do so, but still excited to be here at the fair right on the other side of Brownstown Speedway and getting to do a little bit of an interview tonight. Before we get started, I do want to talk about our sponsors again, InTheFastLaneProductions.com. Can't say enough about what Ryan and Nathan do every week. Especially supporting us and getting things out for us. And if you are not a member of In the Fast Lane Productions, I can't say enough about going out and getting that subscription. Also, Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee. Mark and Jamie Schaefer, make sure that you go see Bobby Bowling in the Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee trailer at every Brownstown Speedway race right there behind the grandstand. Brownstown Speedway and Jim Price, I want to thank them for everything they've done for us this year getting us started. And then our two new sponsors, the first one being Miller Termite and Pest Control. They can take care of any pest control needs that you may have, from termites to bed bugs to ants to spiders. Look them up on Facebook at Miller Termite and Pest Control. You can email them at pest_n_peace@yahoo.com. Phone number 767-5675. Last but not least, Billy Badfast Performance. Billy Badfast Performance is for racers, by racers. It is your source for new and used racing parts and supplies. They are currently stocking Schaefer's oil products and front and rear bumpers and door bars for your late model or modified. Give us a call. If we don't have it, we can find it for you. That is Billy Badfast Performance. All right, now after I did that off the top of my head, I apologize to any sponsors that we may have missed. But exciting night here at the fair, Matt. I got a couple guests with us. I'm going to throw it over to you to go ahead and introduce them.
Yeah, we have Indiana Pro Late Model Series driver Tyler Kane. Tyler ran, this is your second year, Tyler, or third year?
This is my third year in the crate division.
And then you ran many, many years in the Super Stocks.
Yeah, I think it was, this is... my 15th year of racing, I think.
So 12 years in the Superstock.
Yeah, yeah. Long time.
Also, we have your wife, Carrie Kane, here. Carrie, glad to have you.
Yes, thank you. Glad to be here.
the first racer's wife to be here. You know, I know you're a racer
really?
Yourself, but you're the first wife to show up and talk with us.
So. Awesome. Makes me feel special.
Congratulations on that. And also, you know, when we did the last episode, I said you have an announcement to make this evening. So whenever you're ready to make that announcement throughout the broadcast, we'll let you do that. So.
Well, I'll start with, for both of you can kind of answer this question, and where did the passion and you know, excitement for racing and the reason why you do this, why, where did it start from for you guys?
I'll go first. It kind of started out, my dad, my uncles, my cousin Jeff, my dad raced go-karts, my uncles raced go-karts, my uncle Johnny and my uncle Alex, they were part of Frank Kimmel's pit crew on the ARCA team. So I was surrounded by racing all my life. Begged mom and dad to let me start racing when I was 7 or 8. And she said no. So I had to wait till I started when I was 14. And my mom and dad got me a mini stock for Christmas one year. And that was the best Christmas present
ever. I was
going to
say, that's a pretty good Christmas present.
Yeah. I looked out in the front yard there, and I seen that. I'm like, oh, man. It's really going to happen, but that was just sitting in the stands when I was a little kid, come down here and, you know, seeing the late models, that really sparked me. Back I'm seeing Doug Ault, Don O'Neill, Kevin Claycomb, John Gill. I knew when I was sitting in that stands, I wanted to do that one day.
That had to be the longest December to March ever, man. You know, after you got the car in December, and then you had to wait till March to get it out.
And
For those of us listening, we've got the tractor pulls going right behind us, so we got a little good background noise going as well. But go ahead, Tyler.
We got the car. It was a used car, but you know, Santa Claus was supposed to bring it, but it was a used car. So over the winter, you know, me and my dad, my uncles, we had to, you know, we painted it up, got it decaled, put all the motors, and made some adjustments over. But yeah, I was itching at the belt for March to roll around.
Carrie, how'd you get your start?
Well, as a kid, when I was younger, my great uncle Mike and that would be my grandpa's brother. He used to, and Kenny, they used to race. So, I mean, growing up, I never really was around it a whole lot. And then when I started dating Tyler, of course, I was here every weekend in the garage with him, that kind of thing. And then, I don't know, it's probably the first year we started dating. I came down here to Brownstown, and actually Jason Heyman, one of our good buddies, he wanted Tyler to get in the Hornet to hot lap it. And so instead, Tyler's like, babe, you got to get in it. So, of course, I talked myself into it, jumped in it, hot lapped it, got out, and loved it. So called my dad. He couldn't believe it, and told him, I was like, we got to buy it. So we actually ended up buying the car that I hot lapped that Heyman had, and I loved it ever since.
And if you're gonna have to, if you're gonna be at the track anyway, you might as well be
exactly,
having fun as well.
Exactly.
Now that you're a mom, has it been hard to kind of step back a little bit, you know, to be mom instead of focus on the racing?
I mean, kind of, but now that I'm a mom, I mean, that kind of comes first. I mean, that's definitely the first thing is to be a mom. That's kind of why I've kind of stepped back a little bit, and I'm obviously not doing much racing now. I didn't race last year due to being pregnant, so. Yeah, being a mom and a parent definitely changes everything.
Yeah, the bad thing about it was last year. We come out to practice, and we done some things over the winter with her car, and the car was really fast, and she went out there and really impressed me. I'm like, man, she's gonna turn some good laps this year. She ran third the last race at Fun Fest, and I was like, man, she might get her win this year, and that next week.
Found out I was pregnant. So,
oh crap.
Yeah.
So the race car gets parked.
Yeah. Got to practice it, and that was it.
That's just not fair, because that gives you a taste of what
it,
you got.
It did. It did, yeah.
You can't go anywhere with
it. Was
that.
Really good, and I was proud of myself because I got out there, and I told Tyler, I was like, I think that was the best I've ever been. I was like, I think I'm going to be really good. And then next week, found out I was pregnant, so that really put a damper on that.
So obviously that opportunity to get in and hot lap the car, you know, got you the bug, but What was it like as you kind of went through that process of feeling it out and learning how to drive and, you know, kind of really jumping in head first?
At first, it was definitely hard. I mean, you can sit in the stands and watch a driver every week, and they make it look easy.
And, it's, and every fan thinks they can do it without
everybody thinks that they can race it, and it's definitely not true. So, I mean, just sitting up there and watching, you definitely, I mean, getting in it and – I get, you know, practice makes perfect, and you got to be as good as what your race car is. I mean, so if your race car is not good, to me, you're not going to be the greatest driver either. So.
And Tyler, same thing to you. I mean, as you get the mini stock there at 14 years old at Christmas, and what was kind of that learning process as you went along?
You know, when I first got it, we ran it down there at Thunder Valley. Mason Fleetwood was running the track back then, and when I went out there, I just wanted to hold the daggone thing to the floor and go as fast as I could. But then, once you strap in and get out there, it's like, oh, man, you know, I was starting to get a little nervous. But we got out there, and they created a little class for kids 16 and that didn't have their license back then. Because back then, when I started, you had to have your driver's license to race here at Brownstown. So I couldn't come to Brownstown. That's why we end up doing that little mini stock. Yes, it was very nerve-wracking. I mean, I was 14 years old and not driving a four-speed car. So it was...
You had a learning... I mean, for one, you didn't even know how to drive
no,
yet.
No, no.
And then you're in a race car.
No, so. Yeah. We got that race car. My grandpa, before we even went to the racetrack, he bought me a little Chevette for $200. And my dad... got out there, and we've got cornfields out there. He made a racetrack, and I practiced because I had to get the shifting down. And so it was get off the school bus, get your work done, so you go out there and play.
So really your first race car was a Chevette. So you have come a long way from the first car.
Yeah.
Starting with that.
Definitely a long way.
He won every feature in the Chevette.
Oh, absolutely.
He didn't race nobody. So.
No doubt.
Feature winner every time.
Yeah.
That's where he practices victory lane speeches, too. He pulls around and stop.
Yeah, we definitely had a lot of fun in that old thing.
Now, you know, as you kind of talk about that learning curve, I think it's really cool as we've talked to a lot of drivers. I think we also think as fans sitting in the stands that, you know, you're kind of invincible. And every driver has kind of said that first time that you're headed into the corner, it's a different feeling to figure out, is the car going to hold? Am I going over the bank? What's going to happen? So it's cool to hear you say that you do have some of those nerves.
Oh, yeah. It's... Yeah, I meant from coming down here to Brownstown when I first got in the super stock, you know, back then, you know, John Gill and Jewel, they'd always dip that thing off the front stretch and ramp it back on and put it up there on the high side. And I told Dad, I said, when I get my super stock, I'm going to do that. And, yeah, it's not real. It's not as easy as it looks. Everybody, you know, thinks it's easy, but it's hard.
Does it feel like you're going to flip over when you drop off the other side of the banking?
The way Jim's got the track now, when you used to, you could dip it off a little bit and keep the car going. But the way the track's now, it's so steep when you drop off. You definitely, if you're going to go off, you want to go off quick because you could see a lot of guys, they get the frame rails dug into the point there and end up flipping over. But yeah, if you're gonna go off, you wanna, yeah, it's definitely scary feeling. That's like there at the beginning of the year, I was leading the race and dip it off turn three, and like I said, the weekend after I won, that was I could have cried in my car when I dipped that right rear off the back stretch there.
When you went from the mini stock to the super stock, what was a learning curve there going from a front wheel drive and a car you had to shift to the rear wheel drive where, you know, you put it in race gear and you went?
Well, that Chevette we had, it was rear wheel drive, but I mean, going from 150 horsepower to 500, 600 horse, that was the biggest thing. Cause back when I started here, I mean, Brownstown, it was like asphalt.
Yeah.
Every weekend, and that was the biggest learning curve for me when I first started. Throttle control, car control, when the track got black slick. I could run it like a bat out of hell when the track had moisture, but there's many nights I started on the front row of the feature, and about three laps, I was on the tail. You know, it took me a long time to figure it out.
And how do you, I mean, what is that, I mean, obviously just experience, but how do you fight that throttle control where, you know, I know I want, I'm trying to catch somebody and I want to go faster, I want to press it, but to hold to your line and hold to your throttle control so you can catch?
You got to have a good race car underneath of you. I mean, because if the race car's not there, I mean, as you can see here lately, I haven't been doing as good on the black, but you got to have a good race car. Because if you don't, it don't matter. You can have freaking Scott Blomquist in there, and he's not going to do any good. But that's the biggest key. And, you know, you got to go in there and you got to keep the car straight. I mean, for not a lot of people that's ever done it, I mean, it's like ice. I mean, if you go in there, you'll skate for days. But you got to keep the car nice and straight. And, I mean, you can feel it when you get on that throttle. You feel that ass in wanting to kind of kick out a little bit. And, yeah, that's the main thing. You got to keep it straight.
Do you just have confidence that the car is going to catch? You know, like you said, it's on ice. So
yeah.
You go in there, you just have to say the car is going to catch and we're going to go forward. So.
Yeah, that's kind of the plan every night for the feature when it rolls out. You hit that first corner, and if it doesn't catch you, oh, crap, we're in for a long 25 laps. But, yeah, you hit that first corner, if it's scotched up good, it's going to be a good night.
And is that where, you know, people say if you slow down, you go faster? Is that when the track's like that, is that how it is?
Yeah, exactly. You can't go in there and Mach 10 like you can, you know, in the heat race and really blast that cushion. You got to back your corner up. That way you can get turned and get a good run off the corner, you know. You get in there hot, you're just going to get in there sideways and lose so much momentum.
Now, with that, is that the kind of track you would prefer, though, is a black slick track?
Yeah, because it took me so long to get a hold of it and to try to figure it out. But to be a good driver, that's what that's what all the good drivers are good on. You know, anybody can drive on a fast, heavy track, and that's what I like. But in this late model, you know, I like getting up there and riding the cushion, but you see the better drivers come out when the track's black and slick. I think it's racier when the track's black and slick. I mean, you've seen it down here 2 weeks ago. You know, me and Tyler Neal run side by side, and that's what I've been striving to do, you know, because Brownstown's so high side dominant, and we've been trying to get better in the middle of the racetrack. That way we can get up there.
Well, it seems like the middle of the track sometimes when it gets black and slick comes in better than even the high side, like you said. You know, it's almost like it's got progressive banking. Like, if you get right there in the middle, you kind of get a little bit of both bankings there and can run on it.
Yeah, when track slows down a little bit and there's really nothing to get a hold of on that top side, that middle's got a little cup in it, and you can really feel it shoot you around there.
Now, Kerry, I'm going to ask you, since we talked about, obviously, with you having the baby and stepping out of the car for a while, what's it like now as a parent with Tyler climbing in every week?
Makes me a nervous wreck.
And isn't it just totally different,
the thoughts
and the feelings?
It is, the thoughts and the feelings. I mean, I still get excited. I'm anxious. I just want him to win, and obviously, always. And, I mean, so just, it's just the adrenaline, I mean, too. I mean, even though I'm not the one racing, but my heart's still beating, I mean, just makes me nervous because, you know, he's my husband and my father to my child.
Do you approach it differently now that you're dad? I mean, does that cross your mind at all, or once you get in the car, it's just race car only? Or,
I mean, and she knows this. When I'm at the racetrack, when I get there, you know, I talk to everybody. But when I get in the car, I'm not serious, but I'm not as chit chatty as I normally would be with everybody. But you know, over this past winter, a lot of these tracks, you got to have fire suppression systems, you know. And we got some of that stuff, you know. Like my dad said, you know, your life's worth more than $800 to buy some of the safety equipment. You know, it has crossed my mind a little bit, but I'm there. You know, when I get in a race car, I'm there to do one thing. You know, I want to win. You know,
well, I would think if you got in there and that's what you thought about was family and being a dad, your competitive edge would probably fall way off because you're thinking about the wrong things. You know, at that point. And you know, that's understandable because you're a competitor.
Yeah.
So you got to get that competitive mind.
Yeah. You know, I give my wife a kiss every time before I get in the car, but. Yeah, when I'm sitting in the lineup shoot, I'm not thinking about date night.
And I don't expect you to.
You mean you're not at date night when you're at the track and you're in the lineup shoot? That doesn't count?
Yeah. That's what she says in the summertime, you know, before racing. You know, before racing starts, you know, she says, we better get our Fridays and Saturdays in before long. Date night's at the racetrack.
Exactly.
Well, let's touch on that. I know, Kerry, I reached out to you, and we're going to have a whole episode on this with the wives, but you have to give up as much as he does because,
right.
You know, Saturday nights when everybody's like, hey, let's go to the lake, let's go to the movies, let's go do all these other things, you know, because of you're married to a race car driver, you're going to be at a racetrack
exactly.
somewhere.
Exactly,
so, yeah. I mean, you know, like my girlfriend, you know, I'm not a race car driver, but I'm dedicated, and she says I'm married to this place, you know, that's why I can't marry her, but you know, it's, you know, you have to give up everything he gives up.
You do, a lot. I mean, you got to think, you're not just giving up time spent together, because Tyler's the guy that's in the shop, he's in out there Monday through Friday, he's getting everything ready, he gets out there as soon as he gets off work, and he's not home till 9, 10 o'clock every night, you know, so you're giving up time through the week, and then weekends and stuff, you're giving up time to hang out with your friends, do things with family and stuff, which is fine because, I mean, I love it just as much as he does. So I'm not mad about it. I'm not upset. So I like our Saturday night date nights at the racetrack.
And we've tried to spotlight the wives and girlfriends a lot because, you know, you guys have to be understanding and enjoy the sport as much as your husband or boyfriend does because there's, you know, there's as much dedication from you guys as there is from, you know, anybody on the crew or the driver.
Yeah.
You know, and your dad, Tyler, you know, he's your right-hand man there. So, I mean, you know, he's given up a lot, too, to make sure you can keep going. So, you know, it's a support system inside that really thrives all this.
Yeah, it takes everybody. It's not just the wives. I mean, it takes the whole family, really.
Yeah, that kind of part has changed this year, you know. I pick my daughter up after work every day. I get home, you know, I try to spend, you know, a little time with her because some nights I get home, you know, she's in bed, you know. I know, I try to spend time with my wife, help her out with things because, through the week, I'm not really home a lot. Friday nights, I try not to go out to the garage if we're not racing just to have a little family time because I know, you know, stuff gets neglected through the summer.
I understand that, too. That's what I try to do. Friday is you know, do something with the family. And I know we got rained out here not too long ago, and Jamie, she gets a hold of me, and she's like, hey, we're going, I think we're down to Florence. And I was like, I'm going to pass. I said, I need to do some family things, you know, because it's a night we're not racing. So,
mm-hmm.
And he just, you know, him having a brand-new baby, too, we bit off this podcast thing. So, you know, every Wednesday night we're locked down with it, and then he tries to be at the racetrack every weekend also, so. His wife's starting to understand the racing world, too.
But you did the right thing, because that's the same thing I did with the podcast. And my wife is, I included her in our other podcast. I pulled her in, so I knew then she wouldn't tell me no. So if you get them involved, they have to buy in.
Definitely won't say no.
Absolutely. That was the plan. So, Tyler, what was it, on the flip side, what was it like even, obviously, it was before your daughter, but what was it like when Kerry was in the car for you?
You know, when I first saw her out there, you know, I understand kind of how she. I was nervous for her, you know. I didn't want. You know, she's a girl, you know. She's out there with a bunch of guys. That's really. It's not heard of a lot, and you know
that protector kind of come
out
a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, because you know, when there's a girl out there on the track, you know, some people are not going to race her like another guy. But I was nervous, but so excited because she. That first time she come in, the smile on her face was so big that she had, you know, we had something in common, you know, and
we could do it together.
I was so excited for her, but the new kind of wore off a little bit, and then, you know, the competitive edge, I was wanting her to do better. Babe, you know, we'd come home, we'd get in arguments.
We would argue about setup. I should have went to the top. I should have went to the bottom. No, you should have stayed there.
That's where I was getting
we would watch videos.
Next.
We would.
I was going to say the same thing. To just leave the racetrack and go home at night. So
A lot of times,
lot.
You know, when she was in her little Hornet, we ran down there at Thunder Valley, and that was a long ride home sometimes.
It was.
On Friday nights, you know.
I didn't do good.
And nights we went to bed not talking.
But now, Carrie, that you're sitting in the stands watching him and you have a background, do you critique him now?
Sometimes. I mean, not as much now that he's in this late model class, because I don't really know a whole lot where he should run. I mean, I'm still kind of grasping that. But when he was in the street stock class, I mean, I caught a wind of that a lot. I mean, I could tell where he should run and where he should have moved or went high or whatever. You know, I could have griped at him then, but I really didn't. I mean, a whole lot.
You should pull the video out. I mean, you should pull it right out there and just say, here, let's
here,
talk.
This is where you screwed up.
In the Super Stock, though, you guys probably went home a lot with the grin on your face.
We did. We did.
You were pretty dominant there, Tyler.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, there towards the end, we were – the last 3 or 4 years in my Super Stock, we were really good. But, you know, I spent, 12 years in the Super Stock class. There was a lot of struggles, but – the last 3 or 4 years, we definitely had some stuff figured out and definitely made it fun every week.
I remember interviewing you for In the Fast Lane when we was down in Chandler, when we traveled with the Indiana Pro Late Models, and you said coming to this class made you humble because you were so used to rolling on the racetrack and winning that you had to almost like relearn what it was like to struggle. And, I mean, is that starting to go away now, or you still have nights where you struggle?
No, not really. You know, that's like, you know, back to the driving style, like the street stock. You know, I kind of drove like an asphalt car, you know, straight. You can't really get them cars so bent out of shape. You know, with this late model, you got to really get in there and hustle it and drive it aggressive. And, you know, I'm starting to get to that point where I'm driving harder. I got the car more figured out. It was last year we came down here for a practice, and I hopped in Aubrey's car just try to fill it out, and I was totally lost because they drive so different. And it felt like I was in a big old limousine when I got in there. I said, man, I kind of wanted to get back in one, but after I got in it that night, I said, I don't think I would go back to where it would take me a minute to figure it out again. But.
Is the reaction on the car slower then from your late model?
Even though my Crate Hook car has less power than my Super Stock, I mean, they go faster. The steering's way better. Just the reaction time of the brakes. There's so much more grip. I mean, you got this big tire to deal with, but yeah, it's night and day difference.
But, you know, that's good for us because, you know, we're both non-racers. Neither one ever raced, but that's good for people in the stands to hear that. Yeah. It's such the big difference because, you know, you do see a couple drivers run in different classes, and we talked before we went on the air that you said that, you know, you tried it one time and it wore you out, you know, trying to run two different cars. And they were both late models.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I definitely give props to Peden. You know, he's came in this year and he's definitely running really strong. And it took me a while, which I really didn't have a whole lot of help when I first started. We bought that car, my first late model, off Terry Phillips, and he kind of helped me out a little. But even the crate to the super, it's a big difference, you know, because we got half the horsepower a super does. So.
No, that's a positive. You're in a Rocket now, and they have very, very good customer support, right? I mean, they help you out as much as they can, right?
Oh, definitely. You know, if I got questions, you know, I call over there, and they're right there to answer. I know a couple guys there's two people over there I normally talk to, and, you know, they know me by name. Yeah, that really means a lot. I mean, because that is a top-notch place over there at Shinston. They deal with a lot of people, and, you know, I call over, hey, Tyler, you know, how's it going? You know, that really means a lot that I can get that. I also, you know, I deal a lot with Randy Cordy. I got hooked up with him last year, and he's definitely helped. He was here at Brownstown a couple times about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and. For him, that was the first time he's really got to watch me, and it definitely helped when he can see what the car needs, and he's definitely helped me out a lot.
If I was going to have to spend the money that you guys spend on chassis, that customer support would be really high on my list because, you know, getting in, it's like, man, I don't know anything. And, you know, those guys build them every day, being around them, and the customer base that Rocket has, I mean, their depth of information is probably – you know, second to none, really, to help the driver out.
Yeah, it's crazy. Just the 3 years I've been in it, I think it was like, 2016, the cars have come so far. It's stupid. It got so much technology these days. You know, I went over to the rocket school over the winter, and just the engineering and technology that is based off these cars it's crazy.
Now, Tyler, as you're going, I don't want you to give away any of the secrets you have getting prepared, but when you go into a week and you're thinking about, let's say, Brownstown Speedway, what's your thought process about setups? I mean, don't get detailed and give anything away, but what are you thinking about, you know?
I mean, normally, you know, we get the car back to the shop, we assess everything and make sure nothing's broke, damaged, bent, or, you know, and I kind of go over, you know, if we had a good week before, you know, we go through in the fast lane, in the videos, and we really watch the videos of the car and to see what it needs, you know. Normally at Brownstown, you go out, you know, we hot lap qualify. The track's usually really muddy, and you got to be able to qualify. You got to start up front in these heat races, because if you don't, you're not going to come from the back. It's really hard. There's a lot of competitive people, but you got to be really free early, really, really free, and you know, you do a lot of stuff with your tires, your bars in the back, different angles do different things with the car. It could tighten you up, loosen you up, but then from the heat, qualifying the heat race, you got to track's going to go away a little bit. You got to tighten up, and it's just a guessing game what the track's going to do, because when our cars get out there, the track goes through a big change, and you go out there, there's going to be a little brown. Time we get done, that brown's gone, you know.
No, the Indiana Pro Late Models, they travel. You know, we probably cut the travel back more this year than ever, but, you know, you race here, Bloomington Speedway, we've raced at Terre Haute, which you went to Terre Haute 2 or 3 weeks ago and came back with the win, so I know you really like that joint up there.
Yes.
Because you won last year when the crates went up there, and then you used to go down to Chandler. Did you like that traveling, or is that harder on the family and yourself getting the car ready when we travel?
No, I like traveling around. I like getting out and running different places, like in the Superstock. You know, we weren't just dedicated to Brownstown. It's good to get out, because that makes you a better driver, running, putting yourself in different situations. And you don't get burnt out on the same racetrack, the same drivers, but yeah, I like getting out. Yeah, this weekend, you know, we got Brownstown Thursday, and we're going to load up and go to Florence. They got a big crate race for us Saturday, so I'm really excited about that. I like getting out and running different tracks.
I know when I went with you guys up to Terre Haute last year, you know, I've been around racing my whole life, and the announcer's booth is on the inside of the racetrack there. And when they cut you guys loose for hot laps, and I watch you guys go into one, I was like, oh, my God, these guys are flat. Because, you know, if you've ever watched the race from inside the racetrack, it looks faster anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you guys are flat flying up there and then being on the inside. I was like, my gosh, these guys are going to get hurt today. Yeah. I mean, because I can't believe how fast that racetrack is.
Yeah, that I definitely, that was an experience Terre Haute was. But, yeah, running different racetracks, I love it. I set out at the beginning of the year. I said I wasn't going to run for points, and I got sucked into it. You know,
so that's what every driver says at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, well, we got a lot of rainouts, and the tracks I was going to go to, I was going to start out at Brownstown for the first couple races, but I was going to venture off, and it got rained out, so we got stuck at Brownstown, and you know, there that first month and a half, 2 months, we done really good, and it sucked me in.
Talk about some of those other tracks, though, and which ones are your favorites outside of Brownstown Speedway, and why? Why do you enjoy being at those tracks?
I don't. It's hard to pick out a favorite one. I know Putnamville. I always ran really good in my Superstock air. That's a good racy joint. Always had a lot of fun side by side action. It really doesn't matter where you go, if you can race on it and pass, it's fun. But you know, that's all. When you get on something that's single file freight train, that's never any fun. But I've really not been out to anything in Illinois. I've kind of just kind of hung around Indiana and Kentucky. Yeah, I'm always up for a new adventure.
I'm going to point out, too, that your rookie year up in the Indiana Pro Late Models, you raced with Hudson, and your second year you raced with Hudson, and that has to be hard because, I mean, you know, he was always up front. You know, he was on a, you know, which, you know, he's racing for Lucas Oil now, so that, you know, that tells some things there. But did that make you a better driver because, you know, you had to roll out and race him with pretty much every feature you was in in your rookie year?
Yeah, definitely. My first year, you know, I watched him really close. I mean, because that kid, he had the best equipment. He had the knowledge behind him, and, you know, it's made him a really good driver. And, you know, I've watched him. You know, a lot of people, I get criticized the way I drive now, but, I mean, Hudson was 100%, and you got to be in this crate division because there's no motor. I mean, we're all stuck together, and you have to drive hard, but, yeah, you know, Hudson was a big part of where I've come from, you know, driving-wise, just watching him and seeing what I needed to do trying to base my driving style off his.
Once again, we'll apologize for the brakes there, but we just can't talk over the motors there and the truck and tractor pull. You told me there when we was in Chandler that you was humbled because of that, but it, you know, it's hard coming in as a rookie in a brand new class and then try to beat, you know, a guy like Hudson O'Neill and, you know, Stapleton. You know, he was kind of in that same money pool that Hudson was and in racing with all them.
Oh yeah, it's definitely, you know, you go in there and get your head beating in the ground every week. I mean, them first year or two in the class, I mean, he stomped a mud hole in us every week, and I'm like, you know, everybody thought he was cheating, you know, but, you know, I come from the super stock. In the last couple of years, people said we were cheating, you know, we'd done our homework, and I knew, you know, Hudson had good stuff, and, you know, he's a good driver, and I knew watching him, that's what I wanted to be what he had and do what he did, you know.
You're young in age, but you have become almost a mentor to the people in the super stocks because, you know, Mike Fields thanks you every time he's down there. Jason Heyman, you know, he always throws out a shout out to you when I interview him. So all, you know, your years in the super stocks, them guys are going to you now because they can remember, you know, you for, you know, like you said, 2 or 3 years ago, you was the man in the super stock. And so does that make you feel good when you can pass that knowledge back down to them? And I know, you know, Aubrey, she comments a lot on you that you help her out a whole lot too.
Yeah, and that's like Mike, you know, he was part of a lot of my success coming them last 2 years. He kind of hopped on board there and helped out a lot. He drove one of our other cars, and, you know, I got to give a lot of thanks to him. But, yeah, you know, I helped Jason, Aubrey. You know, there's a couple other people I help here and there, but, you know, them two people are my main focus. But yeah, it's always interesting, you know, being at the track or sitting at the house. Somebody will give me a call and ask me for advice. You know, when I first started in that class, you know, I sucked and it wasn't any good, you know. And you know, we was talking about Joe Johnson earlier, and I remember one night, you know, I was probably in the class 5 or 6 years, and I told Joe, I said, I just wish. You know, Mike Fields was running good back then, and Jimmy Ruddick. I said, I just wish I could sit in their car one night. That way I knew what the feel was that I needed to feel. And he said, man, you'll get there one day. You'll get there. And, you know, he came up to me in my last year in the super stock. He said, you remember that conversation we had about 8 years ago? He said, was your kicking their ass now, AJ?
So now that when you made this jump to the crate, who were the guys that as you made that transition you went to? Ask, you know, advice and things like that.
Yeah, when we jumped up to the crates, you know, we didn't know crap about the car. You know, I bought the car off it was a rocket car. I bought it off Terry Phillips. You know, he helped me a little bit, but, you know, super deal, crate deal, totally different. There for a while, we just got in it and drove the daggone thing. We'll be right back.
It's kind of funny how things come full circle. That's almost like the Chevette back when you were 14. We just got in and drove the daggum thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little more expensive than $250.
Oh, but. Yeah. You know, I got in it, and I kind of, you know, Brad Irwin, I kind of took some advice off him. Mark Barber, you know, I work with Blake at work, so kind of was – I really didn't know what to do. Just learning the stuff on the race car, because there's so much going on one of these things. And I bought a rock car, and I called them. You know, they helped me out, but you know, a young guy buying a used car, or crate car, you know, they really didn't think a whole lot. I'm not saying a whole lot of me, but you know, I didn't sound real too smart, you know, calling over, hey, you know, what do I need to do this thing?
You didn't even know the questions to ask. Well,
exactly. You know, exactly. I wasn't used. I knew what I wanted, but trying.
You wanted to go fast.
Yeah.
But you didn't call and just say, hey, it's not going fast. I don't make it fast.
Exactly.
Carrie, if you want to turn any laps in late model, if you try to ask Tyler if you go out there and practice.
I wish he'd let me just one time. Just once.
I mean, you being a racer. And then, you know, that's there.
I just want to try it just once.
I think we're stirring trouble.
Yeah.
I might intentionally ask that question.
He's getting quiet. He's talked all night. He's been fine.
Man, it's really expensive.
I won't tear it up.
She ain't saying in a race. Yeah. You know, maybe
by myself.
Find a night, you know, because I know here lately, like Wednesday nights, they've been practicing down here a lot here lately. Maybe just show up and... You know, let her turn a lap. You know, see what she...
Cause might be better than you.
That's what he's afraid of, Carrie.
That's exactly right.
You should have held on to that Chevette. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, man.
All right, you know how we talked earlier about those rides home from the racetrack?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You just stirred one up on the way home. I want you to take the recorder and mic on the way home. Just turn it on, set it in the back.
Turn it on.
Well, it was a couple weeks ago, you know, she decided to put her car up for sale. You know, we got it out and washed it and everything. And that night, she said, man, I kind of want to get back in. I said, oh, God bless it. You know what? I would really like for her to, but, you know, that's her decision. She can do what she wants, but... She loves that little girl, and I don't. She's just scared, you know. You never know what's going to happen when you get in, strap it in the car.
And I think it's got to be tough too, with both of you being involved. You know, if it's one or the other, it's a lot easier. I shouldn't say it's a lot easier. It's still anxiety, but you know, on any given night, the dangers that are involved with both of you racing.
Well, Curtis Kaiser and Darla going by from Pewter Hall. We were saying hi to them as they walked by here.
Sponsors of the Pewter Hall Pure Stocks.
And the 5C.
Yeah, and Tyler Kane.
Of Tyler Kane.
Yeah, we appreciate what Curtis and Darla do for us. They're big supporters of the racetrack, and they do a lot for it, and they're really good people.
Go ahead and throw the rest of your sponsors out there too, Tyler, because I mean...
We got a couple new ones this year. I got to thank Tech Head Electronics. They're in Seymour. Tanner, he's a younger guy, just got out of college. He's got a really good business going on down there. Anything, computers, cell phones, he fixes them, sells them. He's got a lot of good stuff going on down there. I got Lynch Machining, Main Trailer Sales, Kane Turfords by Darren Kane. That's my sister, not me. Clean Right. I got a new one we put on the car this week. My cousin Jeff Walters is running for sheriff, so we've got him on the car for the fair race. Got Pewter Hall, Beach Heating and Cooling. Rudy and Dick's Barbershop, they always keep me looking spiffy. I think, you know, of course my dad. He's a big sponsor, supporter. That's about it.
Okay. Who are those, you talked about your dad being a sponsor and the help. Who are those other people, obviously your wife, that let you get to the track every week, that put in that time to help you get there?
Yeah, my dad.
Apparently, he's not been in the pits because it's your dad and Carrie.
Yeah. Yeah. They're my big two. Mike Fields, he keeps his super stock there at our shop. And, you know, I get out there late in the evenings, you know, because I'm trying to spend time with the family and take care of that stuff. But when I get out there, he's always working on the car, washing it if it needs washed. He's a big help. If it wasn't for him, I couldn't do it, you know. My dad, you know, me and my dad are in this together. Everybody thinks, you know, I get a ride handed to me. But, you know, before I had a job, you know, my dad did hand me everything, you know. But now, you know, we're in it 50-50. My mom does not come to the races a lot. She makes her scared to death. You know, I'm 30 years old, and she's scared to watch her son go around in circles. But she will be here at the fair. She comes two or three times a year. But she does a lot for me. Both my sisters, you know, helping with sponsors and different stuff that we need to do for the race car. I mean, it's a family deal.
Why the
I got to thank my father-in-law. Jamie Thixton, he's been ever since, you know, he's kind of come with the super stock a little bit, but ever since it's late model, he has had the bug. He's my tire technician. He keeps the rubbers on the car.
Why'd you pick number five?
When I first started, it was, man, I got a race car now. I got to pick a number. I didn't know what to pick. I thought and thought and thought. And when I come down to, you know, there's me, my mom, my dad, my two sisters. And that's where the 5C came from.
That's very cool right there. Because usually, you know, when we've talked to other drivers, well, my dad had this number, so I just ran this number. But, I mean, the thought process behind your number is very cool.
My dad had his number. And, you know, I didn't want to take something that was somebody else's. I kind of wanted to make something that was my own. So, the family's kind of grown a little bit. Everybody says I need to change my number now. I say, hey, that's where it started from.
Does this mean you guys are going to have two more? So you have five?
No. No,
well,
thank you.
We'll have to have another number. So they'll probably go for six.
I don't think so.
We got lots of conversations started for him on the way home. So, getting ready for this week, obviously Thursday night, and then the big Florence show on Saturday. Is there anything thinking about that setup, or do you just focus on Thursday first and then try and get it ready for Saturday?
We're focused on Thursday first. You know, a lot of what we do kind of can transition to different tracks. You know, Florence, it's a big half mile. It's fast. There'll be some things we need to do different, but you got to get through Thursday before you can get to Saturday. So, I'm really excited about Saturday. I haven't been down. I've been to watch Florence, but I've never got a race there. So I'm really excited about it.
So now, and I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. When you know you've got a race Saturday that you're that excited about, that's a big, big race, do you maybe lay back a little bit Thursday, make sure you keep yourself out of trouble, you don't tear the car up, keep your stuff clean? I'm pretty sure I know the answer to that, but I'm going to throw it out to you anyway.
Yeah, we're not a high-dollar team. We don't got oogles and oogles of spare parts. You know, we got some, but definitely when you got to race a couple days through the week, you definitely you're going to not – I'm not going to say – I drive hard every time I'm out there, but, you know, I'm definitely not – I think twice about what I'm going to do out there, because, you know, I got another race this week. We can't be destroying the damn thing.
I'm going to say this, though, just because I know you're a race car driver. You probably are saying that now and you're thinking that, but when you're in the heat of the battle, some of that thought probably goes away because you're thinking, man, I can do this.
If it's for the win, Saturday can wait.
I was going to say, I believe you sitting here, but if you're running second Thursday night, I'd like to be sitting in the two-seater with this microphone again, because I bet the conversation would be very different. I bet you'd say, I don't care about Florence, I'm going to get it right now.
Yeah, definitely. If the car is good, but, you know, if it's a tight battle, we can go to Florence some other time.
I can understand that. So, Kerry, you said you did have a big announcement. Do you want to make it?
Have you changed your mind? Another time, she says.
Okay, that's fair. All right.
I can make the announcement.
Okay.
So I am retiring at the age of 30 from racing. The number 50 pure stock is for sale. Anybody is interested. It's a good car, fast car, well-built car. She needs a home.
And retiring except for the one night that Tyler's going to let you get in the late model. And
that's exactly right. Right. And just hot lap it. Just once.
One hot lap session left in her.
Yes.
It's a clause in her retirement papers that she's signing.
Yes, that's exactly right.
You better think about that clause in case he moves up to a super, because I'm sure you want to hot lap that one too.
Yeah, I think you're right.
We'll just write it in as any future
any
vehicle.
Exactly. That sounds good to me.
I tell you, Carla Heyman has really done it in for me because I know.
Say, Jason let her drive his car.
Yeah, Jason let her drive it, and she blew the motor up because she couldn't get it in high gear. And that has scared me ever since.
Thanks, Carla.
So, and Tyler, what other cars that you've not gotten a chance to get in? Do you have an interest ever jumping a sprint car in anything like that?
A sprint car, I wouldn't want to race one full time, but I would love to sit in one time. Them things are out of control. I mean, they're on the wheel. I definitely have changed my driving style a little bit because I remember when Devin got in one, you know, you definitely got to get them things sideways. But I would love to drive one. I think I would like to drive a wing car a little bit. I like the World Outlaws. They seem to stay on their lids a little more than their open wheels. But I've had a chance, you know, I've drove a modified a time or two. I've never really had a whole lot of interest in getting in one of them, but I'd love super late model if I could, but pocketbook's not that big.
What track have you not raced at that you would love to go race at?
Eldora. I want to go to Eldora so bad. I remember that one year they had super stock. They had Jason actually won the race. And we were going to go over there and end up blowing our motor up, man. Definitely couldn't make it. But Eldora, I love Eldora. I tell you what, watching these past couple years, and, you know, we've been going to Terre Haute. I kind of like the bigger tracks, and I'd like to go to Knoxville. That place is racy. It is really the groove changes. It's insane, and it looks like a real fun track to drive.
Well, you keep the car pretty straight when you race. You know, your driving style, you know, you're not hung out, and it's almost like your driving style suits that bigger track because you know, they don't lay them all out there on the bigger tracks there. So maybe that's why you and Terre Haute have become such good friends there because you keep the car really, really straight. Yeah. It seems like there.
Yeah, and it hurts me sometimes at Brownstown, you know, when the track's heavy, but I'm trying to get better at that. That's why I kind of get out of control sometimes, people say, but. I'm learning still.
Well, we're right at about an hour. I do want to give you a chance, first to throw out your information on your sponsors, and then Carrie again make your talk about the pure stock that's for sale, so that those that are listening that may have interest can do that.
Yeah, I gotta thank Tech Head Electronics, Lynch Machinings, Kane Turford Sales, Clean Right. Irwin Customs, Jeff Walters for sheriff. Get out and vote for Jeffrey. He's a good guy, honest, clean cut, super, super nice guy. Beach Heating and Air. I'm sitting here looking at the race car like it's my own car or something.
But I love it because you're looking exactly where yours is.
Sponsors are.
Pewter Hall, Gerker Building Supply, Rocket Chassis. Got to thank Randy Cordy. Mike Fields, my dad, Jamie Thixton. I think that's about it. My wife.
Good ending.
Yeah.
Very good ending.
Number one.
And then, Carrie, tell us a little bit more again about the pure stock that's for sale.
So, again, the number 50 pure stock is for sale. What, she has 14 nights on her, I think.
Yeah she's
brand new. Yeah. Don't want to miss this out on this girl. She's fast. Motor has how many nights on it?
I was going to say 16.
16 nights on it, maybe, if that. Transmission's brand new.
Yeah, you're not going to find a better deal.
Everything's brand new on it. We're asking $10,000, so hit us up if you're interested. She needs a new home.
And guys, I just want to say, you know, we're glad you come out to the fair. You want to do this live to work with Brownstown Speedway and us get out here. But definitely keep your calendars open. We want you coming to the studio so we can do the Facebook Live and everything with it. And so,
yeah, this wasn't as technology friendly as we thought it might be.
We had some hiccups when we got here. And we want to apologize.
But yeah,
that's all right. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we had a blast.
And soon, Carrie and some other wives of racers are going to come on. And I've even kind of talked my wife into I may step out of the podcast, too, and let her
sit
down and kind of talk about, you know, what Matt was talking about earlier with me kind of getting more involved. And so I think, you know, for all our listeners, that's going to be a really cool episode coming up as well.
And all the husbands can come. You know, you guys can sit there and...
Ooh.
And, you know, listen to them.
Are you sure?
Or we can go out on the deck and you don't have to hear what's said.
But, you know, it's I think listeners need to know what you guys, you know, they
you get
realize.
Us women together, we might just go to town. You never know.
Well,
guys
there might
not
be a lot
be
of alcohol, wine consumed on that evening.
Well, we can probably accommodate. Yeah.
Well, before we take off, I do want to thank our sponsors again. Again, in the fastlaneproductions.com. Schaefer Photos and Custom Tees, Brownstown Speedway, come out for the Thursday Night Thunder here this Thursday, and then the Saturday Night Fair Race. Billy Badfast Performance. I don't have my stuff in front of me, struggling there. Billy Badfast Performance and Miller's Termite and Pest Control. Again, to our fans, we are sorry that we weren't able to be on Facebook Live tonight and missed out on that opportunity, but we will be back next week in the studio with another episode of Throttled Up, the podcast.
Also, go to getthrottled.com to check out all of our episodes. You know, ones we've done in the very beginning before we went to Facebook Live, and catch up on all that. So it's getthrottled.com.
Absolutely. Thank you guys again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Of the rap game. Woo! Ever since I hit him with that dirt track thing. Yeah. Now nationwide, everybody knows my name. They're like, mama, that's Kenny Montgomery. He sings that song we like. Yeah, boy, that's me. Roll out the trailer, I'm flossing. Huh. Them Hoosier tires glossing. Yep. Them cold kind, we're tossing. Right. They know I came to wreck it, yet I rarely bring out a caution. I hit the high side. Boy, I park it for Brian Clausen. I do them like Kyle Larson. Watch me throw them sliders. Party in Victory Lane, and y'all boys ain't invited. Your mama gets excited when I pull up to unload. Even your grandpa talking about, man, that boy too cold. We don't sit on 24s, we don't ride on spinners. I'm posted up on them 15s with platinum dirt defenders. Got kids up in my window like, hey, Mo, are you gonna win it? Yeah, I hope y'all brought some stamps, cause y'all know I'm about to send it on it. Dirt, 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 I'm all about that. Dirt, 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 I'm throwing. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, 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 gotta get back to it. I'm a dirt trackaholic, call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, 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 gotta get back to it. I just won hot laps for the third week. Huh? Lil Dave said he thinks we're in the first heat. Yeah. So I go and check the board on my bike, sitting outside pole. Y'all know what it's looking like. Uh-huh. W, W, that's another George W. Yeah. His hit them with that half a lap. Like, dang, what gear you running, dude? And where'd you get that fire suit? Man, I like that stitching. Velocity USA, hey, just tell Brad that I sent you. I'm shining like I'm rubbered up and I'm smiling for the pics. Y'all boys be looking tacky while I stay looking slick. Four new rims, no new friends. They never know what I'm planning. And mama just gave me them eyes like, dang, baby, you looking handsome. We pray and sing the anthem. Nobody takes a knee. We stop and show respect, cause we're all proud to be. From the land of the free and the home of the brave, y'all better wake up and get it. We're making America great again. Let's all go out and kick it on this. Dirt, 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 I'm all about that. Dirt, 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 I'm throwing. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, 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 dirt,
gotta get back to
I'm
it.
A dirt trackaholic, call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, 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 dirt,
gotta get back to it.